KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, we have cloudy skies with light rain or sprinkles, depending on where you are. 49 degrees. We look for showers and some thunderstorms today and a high of 59 with east-southeast winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says through the end of September, there will be a 15% increase in federal food assistance.
It will provide additional help and assistance for struggling families. To give you a sense of this, a family of four is going to receive, under this extension and expansion, about $102 additional each and every month for the next several months. Now, that's going to make a big difference.
The total increase in food stamp payments will be $3.5 billion. That boost in Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP benefits, is financed from the recently approved pandemic relief package.
This is really significant. About for every dollar that's invested in SNAP, you get $1.50 return in the economy.
Vilsack and Doug Emhoff, the vice president, or husband of Vice President Kamala Harris, visited the Food Bank of Iowa Monday.
Hunger is a real issue in this country. I've already traveled to several food banks and other organizations, both in D.C. and just last week in Nevada.
Emhoff is scheduled to visit similar organizations in Omaha today and St. Louis on Wednesday. Food Bank of Iowa officials introduced Emhoff to a small group of volunteers who work in urban and rural Iowa.
During this pandemic, when the need for food in the United States of America, when you wouldn't think that that would be an issue in this country, but it is, to do the work that you've done day in and day out, I thank you.
Food insecurity in Iowa doubled at this time a year ago, according to Food Bank of Iowa statistics. Congresswoman Cindy Axney, a Democrat from West Des Moines, was along for Monday's food bank tour. She said the pandemic highlighted the need for more food processing and distribution on a regional basis.
To allow us to be able to produce food in, you know, closer to home and be able to process it there and bring it to market, you know, centralization of the market really has caused some problems for Iowa, and in particular in our rural communities who've lost a lot of economic viability as a result of that.
A spokesman for the Republican National Committee said sending Emhoff and Vilsack to Des Moines can't distract from the pork barrel spending in the American Rescue Plan that has nothing to do with directly combating COVID. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported four recent arrests. Sunday afternoon, 40-year-old Carrie Lee Burke was arrested in Council Bluffs for driving while suspended or revoked. Just before 3 a.m. Sunday, 25-year-old Jeremy Blaine Shoemaker was arrested in Council Bluffs for OWI first offense. Late Saturday morning, 38-year-old Erica Elaine Eady of Council Bluffs was arrested on an outstanding warrant for driving while barred, habitual offender, and unlawful possession of a prescription drug. She was being held at Pott County Jail on a total of $3,000 bond. And Friday night, 23-year-old Austin James Bowman was arrested in Council Bluffs on a warrant for harassment in the third degree. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds' office on Monday said the state of Iowa awarded 14 broadband providers with more than $15.5 million in Power Rural Iowa broadband grants made possible through Governor Reynolds' allocation of the federal CARES funding. These grants will impact 21 Iowa counties and more than 2,800 homes, schools, and businesses. Locally, grants were awarded for projects in Fremont and parts of Mills and Page counties. Governor Reynolds said the COVID pandemic only underscored the need for fast, reliable, and accessible broadband. This investment, she said, goes directly to projects that are in significant broadband deserts. And while the allocation will help to improve broadband in more communities, Governor Reynolds said we can do better. Iowa, she said, must have universal broadband access to compete and succeed in the 21st century, which is why she's working with the legislature for significant funding over the next 3 years that she says will ensure access for all Iowans by 2025. This latest round of grants, Reynolds says, shows a demand for more broadband grants in Iowa, and more than 42 providers applied for the grants with applications valued at more than $41 million. That is nearly a 3-to-1 ratio of funds requested to funds available. Demand, she said, speaks of the need to support and fund broadband infrastructure within Iowa to remain competitive in the post-COVID world. The $15 million is the remainder of the $50 million CARES and funding Governor Reynolds designated for broadband grants from a previous round of funding. The full list of providers awarded grants can be found through a link in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. And senators have voted to rid Iowa law of a rule established when coal mining was an active industry in the state. Iowa cities, counties, schools, and state government are, by law, supposed to buy coal that is mined or produced in Iowa, but there is none. The last surface mine closed in the state in 1994. Senator Ken Rosenboom of Oskaloosa said the coal was a booming industry in Iowa 120 years ago, but coal mining towns have faded into the history books.
I don't know if the names Mushikanik, Buxton, Lekanta, Cricket, Eveland mean anything to you, but they do to me. Those are small towns in my county that once were the economic hub of Mahaska County.
Iowa's coal mining industry began in the 1840s. Its decline began in the 1920s as Iowans began heating homes with other energy sources like fuel oil, and cheaper coal could be shipped from Iowa into other states. Senator Jeff Reichman of Montrose said the Clean Air Act regulations were the final tipping point for the coal industry.
Our coal has a high sulfur content, and the scrubbers and the extra needs that are required to bring up the standards enough to burn the Iowa coal is what has actually driven that stake in it.
The University of Iowa's power plant is partly fueled with coal, and President Bruce Harreld set a goal for the plant to be coal-free by 2025. Two of the five boilers in Iowa State University's power plant are coal-fired, and ISU administrators have developed a $12 million plan to convert those into natural gas. That's a check of the news. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.